My text is found in Psalms 19 and verse 14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Have you considered the scripture? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. To me, this scripture is acknowledging that there is a higher power, that there is someone who knows the meditation of our heart. And to me, this scripture is a prayer. Lord, let those things be acceptable in your sight. I believe that should be all of our prayer here today. Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. The Hebrew word for meditation has as one of its meanings musings. Let the musing of my heart be acceptable in your sight. A musing is a period of reflection or thought. It is more than just a passing thought that may enter our mind. It is something deeper than that. Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Now, Satan may bring thoughts to our mind. In fact, our minds are like spiritual ears that hear what's going on in the spirit world. And Satan has access. He can come and he can whisper something into our mind, our spiritual ear. But that doesn't have to become the meditation of our heart. Satan may bring thoughts like a flood at times. He may try to overwhelm us with discouraging thoughts, problems, the things that are going on in the world around us, things that people have done to us that have been wrong. The devil may bring all these thoughts in like a flood. But I'm glad that we have something to withstand that flood. Isaiah 59 and 19. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Those things may come to our minds, but we don't have to let them stay there as the meditation of our heart. The Spirit of the Lord is there to help us to overcome the flood that the wicked one brings. I'd like to read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and 12, "The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There is a higher power. And he looks down, and with his word, he can help us understand the thoughts and intents of our heart. "Lord, is the meditation of my heart acceptable in your sight?" Verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." I'm glad the Lord is there to help us and to show us this meditation that you've had. You need to discard that. Lord, help us, and let it be our prayer. Lord, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In James, the first chapter, we have an illustration of the Word of God being like a looking glass, that the man goes and he looks in that glass, but the forgetful hearer goes away and he forgets what manner of man he was. The Word of God can show us something about ourselves, about the things that we allow to become our meditation. I'm not talking about the things the devil may present to our mind, fleeting thoughts, but those things that we allow to dwell on indefinitely. The Lord can help us to see through those things. The song says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin, and set me free. Know my thoughts, Lord. Know the meditation of my heart. And let me know if there's something there that I need to get rid of. The meditation of our heart can drag us down. It can get us discouraged. It can lead us into sin. Lord, help us to have those things acceptable in the Lord's sight. The verse says, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You notice it says thy sight? Proverbs 30 and verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. It is not my sight, Lord, but Lord, let my meditation be acceptable in your sight. I'd like to give an illustration of the progression of the meditation of the heart. First, we have thoughts that can come into our mind. People can present thoughts. The enemy of our soul can present thoughts. The Lord can present thoughts. But then, down deeper in us is our heart. So, it progresses to becoming the meditation of our heart. And then the meditation of our heart progresses even further to become who we are. The things we do, the things we love. That's why this protection, this prayer of protection, Lord, let it be acceptable in your sight, is so important. Because who we are is a direct result of the meditation of our heart. The scripture in Proverbs 23 and 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The meditation of our heart becomes who we are. It is not as a thought that enters in his mind, so is he. But it's that thought that becomes our meditation. That becomes an entry into the very things that we love. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel 18 and verse 6. It came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. The women answered one to another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And David eyed, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence. I believe this is a case of a thought coming into Saul's mind, and that thought became the meditation of his heart. It is not wrong for a thought of jealousy to come into your mind, but when it becomes the meditation of your heart, and when it is developed to the point that it has murderous intent, that's the problem. This is what happened to King Saul. The enemy can work on us and present us justifications. But I'm the king, and he's just a shepherd boy. And he's the one getting more praise than I am. I'm the one that deserves it because I'm the king. and can lead us down a path of reasoning of how unjust life is, how people have done us wrong, and it can become the meditation of our heart. This message is for me too. When we face problems, when things don't go right, isn't it so easy to descend into the meditations that are discouraging, the things that will cause us to have attitudes that aren't right toward other people? It is my prayer today, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart a man's mouth speaks. We might say out of the meditation of his heart. The things he's allowed to become his meditation, that tends to come out of his mouth. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we see some evidence of the meditation of the heart. Genesis 6 and 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How do you suppose the world got into that kind of condition? It wasn't just a fleeting thought came, but they got in that condition by allowing those thoughts to become their meditation. Doesn't this sound like our world today? The imaginations of their heart only on the evil continually. Lord, help us to have the prayer that our meditation will be acceptable in His sight. The meditation of the heart becomes our desire in life. In Psalms 63 and verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I trust. My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. The meditation of the heart becomes our desire in life. Lord, I'm going to seek You early. That is my desire. And I will meditate on You in the night watches. The very thing that I desire, that's the thing that will be my meditation. When a person has a goal in life, maybe that goal is to get a college degree, they'll spend time meditating on that. They'll spend time studying. When a person wants to make a business successful, they'll spend time thinking about it, won't they? How can I be more profitable? What should my next investment be? They'll spend time. The very thing that they long for, that their heart desires, that will be their meditation. Well, the Scripture says, early will I seek Thee. Lord, I'm longing for You. Like someone longing for water in a dry and thirsty land, that is the way that I desire You, Lord. That is my meditation. How do we take control of the meditation of our heart? When I was in college, there was a student that was upset with a professor. The college professor had done something that made the student mad. And the student was telling someone else about it and said, the more I thought about it, the madder I got. That's exactly the way it works. It's more than somebody did something wrong to me. It's more than some thought came passing through my mind. But the more I thought about it, in other words, as I let this thing become the meditation of my heart, it had an effect on me, and it will on each one of us. I remember being counseled by one of the older ministers when I was young. He described thoughts coming to our minds and said, a bird can land on your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest there. I believe that's the difference between a thought coming to the mind and the thought becoming the meditation of our heart. The meditation of our heart can consume us. The more I thought about it, the madder I got. There are people that are so bitter. There are people that are angry in life at the injustices that they've experienced, the hurts that they felt in life. And the more they think about it, the more they let it become their meditation, the worse it gets. Lord, help us that the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in His sight. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. You notice that? These are the things that defile a man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. It is those things that are our meditation that are the things that defile us. How do we reclaim the meditation of our heart? How do we control that? It helps to start with a clean heart. Psalms chapter 51. This is the repentance prayer of David after he committed his great sins. Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Once we have that inner part cleaned up, then the meditation of our heart can be clean as well. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, where my meditations are. That's where the Lord wants us to be right. We take control of our meditations by controlling our thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are acceptable meditations. It didn't stop with whatsoever things are true. There are a lot of true things out there that can discourage us. But if it meets all these criteria, that meditation of our heart will be an encouragement to us in life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there is power to take control of our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are we without power? Are we at mercy of the enemy and whatever thoughts he wants to make our meditations? Or are there mighty weapons that God has that allow us to cast those things down and to be victorious, be overcomers? In order to take control of the meditation of our hearts, it's good to fill our hearts with good things. Luke chapter 2. Luke 2 and verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Notice this, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's store good things away in our hearts, and we'll be able to take control of our meditations. Scripture says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That will preserve us and help us control our meditations. In Psalms chapter 73, Psalm 73 and 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Verse 12, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." You ever feel discouraged in your walk with the Lord? Verse 16, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, and thou castest them into destruction." We can take control of our meditations by spending time in the sanctuary of God. The song says, "Thinking of thee, O Lord, of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.